WKNR presents
the Keter13.com podcast.
Welcome to the January 29th edition of the Keter 13 podcast. I'm Scott Westerman, and this week we celebrate the life of Tonight Show host Johnny Carson with some air checks you probably haven't heard, a dead-on parody from the creative mind of Harry Shearer, and the tale of how a song sung by Annette became one of television's most recognizable themes. That's all ahead on this week's Keter Podcast.
Motor City Music!
Not since the state funeral for Ronald Reagan has there been such an outpouring of admiration and television time as we've seen this past week, mourning the passing of Johnny Carson. So I thought we would delve into the Keter13.com archives and present a program dedicated to one of television's most important personalities. Like most television stars, Johnny had a strong radio connection. Joel Denver's AllAccess.com reports that Johnny had two radio gigs, beginning with KFAB in Lincoln, Nebraska in 1947, and moving to WOW Omaha, where he ultimately became one of the station's first TV personalities in 1949, with his first show, The Squirrel's Nest. Sadly, no air checks of Johnny's radio career seem to exist, and thanks to some knucklehead at NBC, all of his pre-1970 Tonight shows were destroyed during a house cleaning project. Well, all this week, we've seen a variety of Carson clips from post-1970, but few remember that some of his best early work is preserved on a record. Here's Johnny, Magical Moments from The Tonight Show, was the most expensive two-record set ever released when it came out on the Casablanca label in 1974. It included a potpourri of entertainment, including some great Carson moments. The album was never released on CD, and a mint copy can fetch a pretty penny on eBay these days. When we learned that Johnny had died, we dug ours out of the Keter archives, and we'll play some of our favorite cuts for you on this week's podcast. First up, a selection from the 11th anniversary program, covering everything from the topical monologue to togas.
I'll never forget back in 1962... I got a frantic phone call, and NBC said they wanted me to replace a big television host who had retired from show business.
You remember the very first time?
I remember it. You probably don't.
What's this?
The very first time. You said...
And now, here's Johnny!
Let the orgy begin.
I better explain this. Some guy, some clown, walks into our office the other day. He's wearing this toga, which is a new thing. He said that they're trying to get the fellas wear this summer. It's just an old toga. Is there a draft in here? I feel like a real boy wonder. People look at you and wonder, is that a real boy?
I feel like an idiot.
You folks at home without color sets, this is a
royal blue
with a gold sash. And my legs are as white as the underbelly of a born gosling. And oh, yeah, well, that's when I kick him your rib shot. I know what you're thinking now, right? I know what you're all thinking.
Yes.
Same thing when a Scotsman, you know, wears kilts. You're saying, what? What is he wearing underneath?
What is he wearing underneath?
Yeah.
What are you wearing underneath?
Wait a minute. This is not open end. What does anybody wear under an everyday toga? My everyday fruit of the looms. Hey, what other show would walk out and do this? Can you see Sullivan opening with one of these?
Never.
Want to get the Christians ready? Anyway, in the Los Angeles Times this morning, there was a letter from a woman complaining, this is true, you can check the Times right after the show. She was complaining to Dear Abby that her husband would not have sex with her until after the Tonight Show. The headline said, "Man refuses to have sex with wife until he's through with Carson." Oh, now that's, I thought was a... There's nothing wrong with having sex during the Tonight Show. It's never stopped the studio audience at all. When high school, though, when you're young, you know, with the girls, I remember me and my best girl, Emily Cockenlocker. We used to, up in the bleachers. You know Emily.
I knew her well.
From Nebraska. It's... German girl.
Little
Emily Cockenlocker.
Yeah.
We used to... We would,
be one
all
more
huddled in a blanket with a flask up in the bleachers. And that was in July. In the Florida season. She was a weird girl. So I went to a very small high school in Nebraska.
How small was it?
Well, during... This guy's been watching the show too long. We got 40 million straight people. When I say straight people, I mean like straight men. I don't mean... We had a high school that was so small that during halftime, one guy came out and formed a picture of the United States. One guy.
That's small.
Oh, that was a small thing. We got a dandy show. I'm going to go out and slip into something comfortable because I'm beginning to feel like a nut.
Johnny Carson in 1973. One of the things that guests loved about being on The Tonight Show was how Johnny always seemed to make them look good. For three decades, it was the launching pad for many of the nation's hottest comedians. But from time to time, Johnny took center stage with one of his famous characterizations. His Ronald Reagan was among the best, and all of us on the sixth floor of Wonders Hall at Michigan State University would turn up the TV whenever Carnac the Magnificent took to the stage. Here's another of Johnny's best bits, the oily matinee movie host, Art Fern.
Time once again, friends, for the Mighty Carson Art Players. One of the mainstays of daytime television is the late afternoon movie. It's usually hosted by a happy-go-lucky, talkative big mouth, who's very happy to bring you the film feature, but a lot happier to bring you more commercial offers than you can find on a trip up 8th Avenue. We bring you now The Big Flick with your host, man about town, all-around nice guy, and former chiropodist to the stars, your friend and maybe mine, Art Fern.
Hi there, Southland viewers. That's right, Art Fern here today. Bringing you today's really great tea time movie. We got a great one for you this afternoon, friends. Best Flowers, Beefy Dorsey, Guy Gibby, and Cora Witherspoon in Ma and Pa Kettle join the Black Panthers. But first, friends, I'd like to make a spectacular furniture offer to all you homeowners out there. Settee City. Yes. Settee City Discount Furniture Warehouse is throwing its doors open to you. Settee City will furnish your bedroom, your living room, your sauna bath, your attic, your backyard with fabulous furniture in the decorated styles of your choice. Danish Provincial, Tiny Tim Traditional, Late Quasimodo, and Early Chiang Kai-shek. In which our decorator, Sun Yat Shapiro, will personally come to your home and sprinkle soy sauce on your credenza. How about them apples? So come on down to Settee City. It's easy to get to. Where's our matinee lady? And holy... Here's our map. Here's what you do. Take the Ventura Freeway to the Cosa Mesa Interchange. Down to Encino, past Banning, back on the gigantic cloverleaf, then back up 5 miles and look for the giant statue of Louis XIV with the overstuffed bottom. That's Settee City. Thank you, matinee lady. Holy... Now it's movie time again, and today's classic, Dame Mae Whitty, Jose Iturbe, Leo Carrillo, and Sabu in Mr. Moto Sucks an Egg. Here it is. How about that, friends? What a great flick, huh? We'll be back to our feature, Reginald Denny, Michael Rennie, Sonia Henny, Jack Benny, and Rex the Wonder Horse, and Tonto sits on a pine cone in just a few moments. But first, friends, let me ask you this out there in television, Dan. You love good music, good art, the finer things in life? Well, Culture City... Culture City, that's right. The famous Recorded Arts Center in downtown West Los Angeles off Figueroa is ready to lay a little class on all you... Lay a little class on all you Timmies who watch wrestling in your undershirts. Listen to this, friends. How many of you recognize this age-old favorite from the classical repertoire? Listen. You're right, friends, that was Jan Pierce. Singing the part of Fettuccine in Rossini's Immortal Opera, The Girl with the Golden Linguine. Yes, you get that, friends, and 399 other brief selections in the world's favorite music on one long playing record. And if you order in the next 30 seconds, friends, you'll get a world-famous artistic painting painted by an actual artist with a beard to hang in your culture room. How about this? To get your culture kit, just call Culture City at these numbers in Fresno, Tarzano, and San Luis Obispo. 555-778-1347-1347-543-0021. If you're calling from Rome, dial LXD-IX-IX. And now, friends, back to our movies. Spanky McFarlane, Al McKruger, Olga San Juan, Eric von Stroheim, and Fuzzy Knight in I Was in Heat for an Artichoke. How about that? It's a real biggie, isn't it, friends? Well, we'll be back to our feature Benson Fong, Anna Mae Wong, Peter Chong, and Menasha Skulnik and Dr. Kildare Lances a Hickey in just a minute. But first, friends, do you write poetry? You want to be a top songwriter? Would you like to have your words set to music? Well, right now, the famous music company of Rodgers and Hammerstein, operated as you know by Phil Rodgers and Itzy Hammerstein, in the Music Center of the United States, East Cincinnati, Ohio, will have your lyrics set to music by an actual music person with sideburns. That's right, friends. We will publish your song. Here's our matinee lady. We will publish your song on music paper. That's right, friends. Phil Rodgers and Itzy Hammerstein guarantee to score your song, publish it, and show it to a person in a band. And all, friends, for only $50. That's right. Where else can you get a score like that for $50? That's right. There it is right there. Remember, send your $50, remember the 50, and your poem to Song City, Route 12, Augusta, Georgia. Write that down, $50 in cash with your poem, or just a title, or a few words, or any six letters, an Arabic numeral, we don't care. Send it to Melody Mart, Box 4, in Skanaba, Michigan. And now, back to our great big flick, Ed Platt, Earl Flat, Jack Spratt, Fats Domino, and Mervyn LeRoy, and How to Lose a Chinese Fortune, or Charlie Chan Drops His Cookies. We'll be right back. Hi there, gang. How are you? We'll return in a moment to our big flick. Lauren Bacall, Thurston Hall, Mary Small, and Franklin Pangborn in Annette Funicello goes 8mm. But right now, friends... A word first from Shift City. The transmission specialist. There's our girl right now. Yes, friends, come on into Shift City. No more slow starting. Now, here's what we'll do at Shift City, folks. We'll clean your points. Charge. We'll charge your battery. We'll give you a ring job. Lube your joints. And if you like our work, then bring in your car. Okay, now, to reach Ship City, you take the Hollywood Freeway to the Pismo Beach cutoff right here. Turn left at Orange Drive and look for the big neon manifold gasket. And now, back to our great big flick. Eddie Foy, Myrna Loy, Clyde McCoy, Troy Donahue, and Mae Bush in a documentary, Joyce Brothers Finally Gets Hers. What a film. That's all for now. Goodbye out there, friends.
That's Art Fearn on The Tonight Show from 1971. Now up next, a segment that the NBC Standards and Practices people ultimately censored. Dean Martin is Johnny's guest when Buddy Hackett crashes the party and tries to tell one of his trademark blue jokes without getting bleeped. Listen closely, and you'll see that he almost gets away with it.
No, I just dropped in because I'd come to wish you a happy anniversary, but... It seems to me it's impossible for you to have an anniversary. You've only been married 7 months.
Welcome to the club. Oh.
And I, you know, I watch you every time you're... What are you on? Tuesdays, Wednesdays?
Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
Thursday.
No, you're not on all those nights. Joey Bishop's on all those nights.
Joey comes in occasionally.
Joey comes in.
Can I disprove something once and for all? What? They make jokes about you drinking, like I make jokes about Ed. Can I?
That's may I.
May I, excuse me.
You were dangling a participle, and I just wanted to...
Well, I'll wear a long coat, and nobody will notice it.
You ever thought of getting a partner again?
Oh, no.
Come
no.
On.
No, I tried Linda Lovelace, but she said she had it up to here.
I didn't know that.
But it's sweet of you to come over and wish me... No, I'm glad you're here.
Over here.
It was my pleasure to come here.
And,
I don't know why. I was... Well, but I do watch you every night.
You were in the building anyway.
No, but it's you. You are something. For 11 years, you have been something. What you are, I don't know. But he's the nicest guy.
What are you? Oh, you're not supposed to be out here.
Okay. Why don't you taste what he's drinking? Because it's powerful.
I know what they look.
You look, you better smarten up because I'll say a few things.
No, don't start.
Did you hear what happened with this guy?
I'm afraid
it was a terrific thing. I'm going to try and tell it in a way that they can't bleep it, but I doubt it. See, this guy says that, he says to another guy, he says, every time I sneeze, I have this complete gratification that comes from a way of having connubial fulfillment. He says, you mean every time you sneeze, you have a complete feeling as though you and someone you are closely related with through marriage had experienced many moments of gymnastics? He said, yes. He says, each time you sneeze, he says, what do you take them for? He said, pepper.
We'll be right back.
Try to bleep that,
after
smart
a word
ass.
From the...
Remember when you couldn't say smart ass on TV? How things have changed. We're celebrating the life of Tonight Show host Johnny Carson on this week's Keener 13 podcast. It's said that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And as Johnny became a household word, doing impressions of Johnny became a cottage industry. Rich Little quickly added Carson to his repertoire, but one of the great underground comedy rarities is a Tonight Show parody that appeared on a 1974 album by The Credibility Gap. This California comedy troupe were contemporaries of the Firesign Theater and featured the talents of Michael McKean, David Lander, and Harry Shearer. Listen closely to the perfection with which the guys create every nuance of The Tonight Show and take it right over the edge into anarchy.
From Hollywood, The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. This is Ed McMahon on the Doc 7 and the NBC Orchestra, inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Don Rickles, gay liberation activist Frazier Timmons, author Dr. William Gielgud, and a funny animal psychic. And now, here's Johnny!
Thank you. That's the biggest hand I've got since I was goosed by Mighty Joe Young. No, you know, out here, we're in Hollywood now, and out here, of course, you meet all the stars. Just the other day, I was in the Hollywood Ranch Market, and all the stars shop there. I don't know what it is. It's a kind of a freaky market.
Yes.
I was in the vegetable section, propositioning a prune. No, this is serious now. This is serious. And I saw Rosemary Clooney, Mickey Rooney, Billy Mummy Regis Toomey, and Dump the Wonder Panda, and Rin Tin Tin gets fitted for a truss.
This was a market, sir.
No, I thought I'd go right to the biggie, Ed. Whoa. Hey, look at those clothes the doctor is wearing tonight. Doc, what do you call that outfit, huh?
It's a perky chiffon top with puffy sleeves, a ribbed knit dirndl, and a matching poochie scarf.
Poochie, huh? Yeah, I hope it's housebroken. Whoa! Woo! Whoa, who needs writers, huh? What else is in the news today? Oh, yeah. They got this strange newspaper out here. You seen it? It's called a Free Press.
Yes.
And it's just weird, weird paper. Yes. They sell it on the street. I don't know how they get away with it.
No.
And it is pretty gamey stuff. But I got a copy of it, opened it up in the NBC green room, and this rubber thing fell out. This is true. It was Ed's enema kit.
This is true.
Yeah. You got to stop eating with those Clydesdales, Ed. Too much roughage in your kibble. We got a great show tonight, don't we? Do we have a great show tonight?
Yes.
We always do. All right. Did I miss anything? Stay tuned, won't you? Hello there. Did you come for the tour?
No.
Hi, you're new around the pool hall, aren't you? What's your name, sweetheart?
Una von Una.
Una von Una. That's a beautiful name.
No, Johnny, it is a dumb name. But thank you anyway.
What do you do out here, honey? You in pictures or what?
No, I'm a prostitute.
Oh. Well, God bless you for the wonderful work you're doing, Una.
Thank you.
No, I meant it. Everybody's got a... Now, I don't know whether I should ask you this, Una, but you got something for me?
Oh, yes. Johnny, in honor of all the publicity you've given the massage business, the Southern California Manual Catharsis Institute have awarded you, Johnny Carson, this huge bronze replica.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Whoa. Isn't that beautiful? Did you know this was going to happen? Wow. Thank you, darling. Yeah, that's nice. Wow. You know, it's funny. I never know what to say to a prostitute except thank you and good night.
Good night, Jenny.
Una von Una.
Thank you very much.
Oh. Boy, she's got a pair of poochies on her, huh? Isn't that great? Wow. I hate these damn moments. They're so stupid, you know? Okay, what do we got?
Gay activist.
Oh, the fag thing, that's right. I should explain this. We've gotten some mail from the gay liberation people who apparently feel that they haven't been treated fairly on the show. I said fairly. Now, we don't necessarily feel that we've done anything wrong, but just to make sure that there aren't any hard feelings. No. Come on now, this is serious. This is serious. We can get sued. We've offered two gentlemen time on the show to come out and explain why they came out. So would you welcome first the chairman of the Southern California Gay Activists Liberation Alliance, or GALA. And this is interesting. He's also a lieutenant in the United States Air Force Reserve. Would you please welcome Lieutenant Frazier Timmons. Evening, sir. Glad to meet you.
Evening.
Mr. Timmons, I'm glad you could be with us tonight, sir. Do I call you, sir?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Johnny. I'm glad we're finally getting a chance to express our point of view.
Well, I am too, sir. You know, I was reading the Reader's Digest condensation of the article that you wrote for the New York Times Magazine.
Uh-huh.
And one thing you said struck me as interesting. You said, as I recall, you thought homosexuals should stop pretending and should openly declare themselves to be what they are. Now, this wasn't a put-on, was it?
No, Johnny, this was a press release. But It expressed my feelings and the feelings of millions of my fellow Homo Americans. You see, based on the nature of American society, Johnny, when a homosexual pretends to be what he's not, he only hurts himself.
Mm. Well, now, I think I read this somewhere, but aren't most homosexuals masochists anyway?
Not at all, Johnny, and this is what we're really angry about. You see, the distorted image of the homosexual that comes through the media equating us with effeminacy and perversion.
Ooh.
And... Well, now, you know what I'm talking about. The stereotype interior decorator.
Yeah, that's a funny bit.
The effeminate barber. I mean, this has nothing to do with the reality of homosexual life. We're people. And like people, you can find homosexuals in all sorts of jobs.
What? Now, for example, what kinds of positions?
Well...
Seriously, what kinds of occupations, let's say?
Well, there are lawyers, accountants. I mean, I'm in the Air Force, right? Now, on TV, you never see a homosexual portrayed as a soldier. And yet there are millions of us leading a normal life in the military.
Mm, that's interesting.
And prisons. Where in the prison movies do you ever see a homosexual? And yet homosexuals virtually run our prisons.
Now, that's a really thankless job, too, isn't it?
And these aren't the sissies... These aren't the sissies and the pansies like the TV image would have you believe. I mean, these are people who committed perfectly normal crimes. Burglary, a bank robbery, a forgery, crimes of wit and deception.
Well, then, Lieutenant, I guess this whole question doesn't fall under the Peter principle. Come on. What'd I say? Come on, golly. This audience is hotter than Toady Field's sauna pants. Hey-o! Look, Lieutenant Simmons, I want to get back to you on this because I'm interested in this. We have another guest who I should bring out now because he's written a book that's a study on homosexual behavior. And the book is called Island of Fire. Would you please welcome Dr. William Gielgud? Doctor, good evening.
Thank you.
Have you met Mr. Timmons?
Yes, backstage.
Doctor, I assume that you heard what Mr. Timmons had to say.
Yes, I did, John, and while I respect his stature in the homophile community, I hope he doesn't pretend to speak for all homosexuals. things just aren't that simple. Many of the homosexuals I've interviewed prefer to keep their air of mystery. They're, for the most part, perhaps more flamboyant and colorful. But despite the fact that they have a far more intense sense of humor than the rest of us, I don't think they want their private lives flaunted like so much wide whale corduroy.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that. They do seem to get more jokes. That's true.
Well, now,
Doctor, based on your research, would you say that homosexuals are being treated unfairly by television?
By television repairmen, yes. But that's a local matter. Now, the reason that I call my book Island of Fire is because the homosexual, driven by his disease, finds himself like an island apart from the rest of us, and yet on fire, literally, with a passion that he cannot conventionally suppress. Hence, Island of Fire. Also, of course, they all live on Fire Island.
But, Doctor, by insisting on calling it a disease, you're contributing to the stereotype. Just because two men get together in the evening, put on bathrobes, and fry up a couple of steaks is no reason to call them sick.
Well,
they're frying steaks, you can call them rich.
Johnny,
come on.
Johnny, you see, the trouble with militant homosexuals is that they just don't know their place.
Well, it's a lucky thing they don't know Doc's place. He'd have to go to Capizio's in a mess.
He probably would.
I shouldn't joke about this. I want to ask you a couple more questions because I've got some things to learn about this, too. But I should bring out our next guest now because, well, the health department's about to tear down his mouth. Would you please welcome Mr. Warmth, Don Rickles.
It's a really funny show, John. I've been watching backstage. Two faggots and a drunk. You got a lot of taste, John. No kidding.
No, it's a little steamy around the edges, Don, but this is an important show.
No, it's you I'm talking about, John. You're sick. You got crap in your head, John. Here I am sitting next to the forbidden fruits. No. It's good to see you, fellas. I like the lieutenant, John.
Oh, you do?
He's got your eyes. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Are you a career man, sir?
No, I'm in the reserve.
What are you waiting for? No kidding, this guy's great, John.
Don.
Having a wonderful time.
Don, can I interrupt
for a second? Yeah, go ahead, I'll read your lips.
I know that all this is done in pretty good fun. But I'd still like to point out and have people know that although publicly Don Rickles puts on the air of a person who doesn't like homosexuals, he's actually done more for them than any other straight person in America today, myself included.
Oh.
So this is true.
I didn't know this.
No, you deserve it.
Maybe I should give you the replica.
That's really funny, John.
I might be serious for a moment. Thank you very much, Doctor. I've done the only thing a performer can do, the good Lord and my mother willing, lend my services as an entertainer to their various functions.
To their functions, huh?
Yeah, that's right, John. I'm the guy with the rubber hose who yells,
"Bend over, I'm a gypsy."
Ed, good to see you. What are you doing here with these bimbos? I thought you were Irish. I mean, somebody help me. I'm sitting between two Nellie Bells and a stewed blimp. I joke. How's your son, Ed? Huh? How's little Kippy or whatever his name is? Still blame the accident on you, does he? Now, seriously, Ed, how are you?
Fine. Thank you, sir.
Good, you fat turd.
Don, you're a cuckoo bird.
God bless you, John.
Just crazy, crazy. Lieutenant Timmons, you're going to be speaking at the Gay Liberation Rally at the Anaheim Convention Center next week, aren't you?
Yes, that's right, Johnny. We'll be talking
Anaheim,
about
huh? You got a cop a feel off of Goofy while you're there?
Doctor, can we look for you somewhere?
I'll tell you where you can look for him, John. Try the Times Square subway at midnight. He's the one yelling, "Where's the tunnel? Where's the tunnel?"
Yeah, the one with the velveteen jockey shorts and the NBC peacock in his pants.
That's a good one, John. I admit. That's great. One for the Cornhusker. Oh, by the way, I got a message for you. Your ex-wife wants a vibrator back.
Yeah. Probably wants to use it on her poochie.
That's cute. What the hell is this? I'm on Ding Dong School.
Tomorrow night, something a little bit special tomorrow night. We've been telling you about it for a couple of days, and I know you won't want to miss it. We'll have J.P. Morgan, Buddy Rich, either Fernando Lamas or Ricardo Montalban, and of course at midnight, something the staff has been working on all week over at the Sheraton Universal, Miss Miller's Funeral. I don't think you want to miss it. And if we have time, of course, that funny animal segment that we promised you.
Sounds like a good show, John.
Oh, yeah. A biggie. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Don. Thank you, girls. And good night, everybody.
Stephanie Powers and Doodles Weaver co-star in The Wonderful World of Rup.
And that's exactly how it ends. Michael McKean, David Lander, and Harry Shearer with their parody of The Tonight Show from The Credibility Gap's Great Gift Idea album. And that's our salute to the late, great Johnny Carson. Our link list at KeenerPodcast.com is loaded with Carson info and Tonight Show trivia. But before we put this one in the can, let's listen to a 1959 tune originally called Toot Sweet. It was written by Paul Anka as an instrumental. But when Mouseketeer Annette Funicello needed something catchy for her Annette Sings LP, Anka penned some lyrics and renamed the song It's Really Love. In 1962, when Johnny took over The Tonight Show, he asked Anka to compose a theme song for the program. Well, Paul suggested retreading It's Really Love and agreed to share composer and publishing credits with Carson. Anka once said that he earned $200 every time the theme song was played. And 32 years later, we calculate that It's Really Love has generated a total of $1.6 million for its authors. Not bad for a retread. We're back again next week with another Keener 13 podcast. Till then, I'm Scott Westerman. Thanks for listening.
It's really love, dear. My heart. There's no defense, dear. dreams come true. Only your love, and that's all I ask of you. So won't you tell me that you are sincere and kiss my lips? Like a baby, I'll cuddle in your arms, long for your kisses and thrill to your charms. I'll be in heaven, heaven so divine.